98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Pickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Pickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Pickley and Murata. This is the greatest
show. Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show that's ever existed.
It really, really is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Pickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world.
Fingers crossed, Vinny. Happy Monday, everybody. Dan Pickley, fresh off the road from Mexico.
What happened to your voice, Pick?
You got to do me a favor. You got to crank up your level a little bit there, bud.
All right.
It's going to make it easier for you.
Good.
There you go.
Yeah, Vinny, it was quite a weekend, put it that way.
I'm definitely going to get bottled water for you during the first
I'm
going to
be good.
commercial
we'll
break.
Talk this thing out.
I think that's my job.
Wait, getting water?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the producer here.
Why hasn't it happened yet, then?
I told him whatever he needs.
Because Jared trained him.
Yeah.
That's why it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, okay, because, you know, when Jared's here, we make water runs for each other all day long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I will get you a plethora of water during the break.
All right. Absolutely, we have a lot to get into today. But you were down at the return of Circus Mexicus happened this weekend. Whiskey's quicker.
Everything
rocking the joint.
Yeah, no, I think I told you that at Saturday night, there was where they perform, it's nothing but sand dunes everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I was breathing in sand all night. And when we got done playing, my voice was just gone. It came back yesterday. This morning, I'm struggling. I'll get through it.
It sounds.
I just need to warm up, man.
It sounds a little tough, and I don't mean that as a bad thing. It's got a rasp to it, like you experienced some stuff this weekend.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
No, that's not what happened.
Good shows.
Yeah, no, it worked out great.
Good.
It worked out good.
Good. I think a lot of people that went down there were looking for that release after a year and a half
of a crazy scene. It was good.
Good. And it was responsible.
Yes.
All right, good. Let's get this thing started, Jesse.
The Splash. Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash. The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
We start the Splash for Monday, June 14th with this. The Phoenix Suns are not messing around. Suns got 71 points from their backcourt, 37 from Chris Paul, 34 from Devin Booker. They held off a feisty Denver Nuggets team 125-118 to complete their four-game sweep, and they advanced to the Western Conference Finals for the 10th time in franchise history, first time since their last playoff appearance in 2010. The Nuggets jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the game on a Nikola Jokic layup, but the Suns answered with seven straight points, never trailed again. Suns led by 8 late in the third when a frustrated Jokic took a swipe at Cameron Payne after not getting a call under the basket. Referees determined that the foul met the criteria for a flagrant penalty 2, and Denver's MVP was ejected from the game. Suns answered immediately with a run that built the lead to 16, but the Nuggets didn't quit. They actually got to within 4 points in the fourth. They outscored the Suns after Jokic's ejection by a point, 43-42, but Chris Paul, simply amazing. 9 straight mid-range jump shots over his span of the second and third quarters. 13 points in the fourth to seal the deal. Suns off now for at least a week and will await the winner of the Utah Clippers series.
What a great break for them. And let's talk again about the MVP debate.
Yeah, it wasn't close in this series.
Well,
and
no,
I know it means nothing to the voters.
Yeah, but for what Jokic did...
Yes.
I mean, that's just nonsense.
Look, Friday night, he snapped. He got a technical. I thought he towed the line on how far he could push the referees in that game. He got away with it. Yesterday, and we'll get into this a lot more in detail, he snapped again. It was behavior not befitting an MVP.
Not a good look. Nope, and he's going to have to wear that.
Yeah, he's going to have to wear
same
that.
Same with the MVP voters.
Yeah. And I brought it up last week, if this series was planting a seed of doubt in any of the MVP voters' minds, and if they hadn't had that doubt before yesterday, they might now. The Clippers-Utah series resumes tonight in L.A., Jazz up 2-1. They've played this series, Utah has, without all-star point guard Mike Conley. Donovan Mitchell aggravated an ankle injury in Game 3, won by the Clippers on Saturday. Mitchell says he'll be ready to go for tonight's Game 4. That tips off at 7 o'clock Arizona time from Staples Center. So a lot more interested eyes in the Valley watching the rest of that series, obviously.
And may it go long. 7 games would be great.
Yep. That game will be preceded by Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semifinals in Atlanta, with the Hawks hosting Philadelphia. Sixers have a 2-1 lead after a 16-point Friday night win in Game 3. That game tips off at 4:30. Yesterday, the Bucks even their Eastern Conference semifinal series at 2-2. They beat the Nets 107-96. Giannis Antetokounmpo paced the Bucks with 34 points, 12 rebounds, and the Nets lost Kyrie Irving to an ankle injury, the severity of which is not yet known. Nets had already been playing without All-Star James Harden, who injured his hamstring earlier in the postseason. So depending on what those tests show and what those results, what they say from the Nets training staff, could be a different looking postseason in the Eastern Conference.
And you got to wonder whether they're even going to get out of this round against the Bucks, if that's the case.
The Bucks have played really intense defense over the last two games. They've held that team, even on the last game, under 100 points, and that was with Kyrie Irving on the floor. So, the Bucks got their wake-up call, we'll say that. For as high as the Suns are, the D-backs, they continue to sink to new lows. John Duplantier got racked for 6 runs over an inning and a third, and the Angels waltzed to a 10-3 win at Chase Field. D-backs' 10th consecutive loss. They've now had 2 double-digit losing streaks this year in the first 66 games. They're 20-46, 3 games behind Baltimore for their worst record in the majors, and now they're back on the road where they've lost 19 straight games against the best team in the National League, the San Francisco Giants, for the next 3. Matt Peacock gets the start for the D-backs against Alex Wood. First pitch is at 6:45. Pregame coverage starts at 6 on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Between the on-field product and the Mike Hazen situation with his family,
it feels so bad for Mike.
It's a low point for the franchise, and that that news came out after we got off the air on Friday. So just positive thoughts to prayers, the Hazen family, because that's not something that anybody wants to deal with.
It's a nightmare.
The Mercury fell to the New York Liberty in the WNBA last night, 85-83. They've lost 3 straight. They hit the road for back-to-back games against the LA Sparks on Wednesday and Friday. Novak Djokovic rallied from 2 sets down to beat Stefanos Tsitsipas in the final of the French Open for his 19th Grand Slam title. Listen to this, Bick.
Yeah.
Between Djokovic, Federer, and Nadal, that trio has combined to win 60 of the last 73 majors since the beginning of 2003, including 16 of the last 17. Unseeded Barbara Krejcikova of the Czech Republic won the women's title and the doubles title at Roland Garros. Good weekend for her.
Great weekend for Novak Djokovic, even giving his racket to that young fan.
That kid
kind
freaked out.
Kind of softened up his image a little bit, which is good. He needed that.
A little bit. And it might last until the next time he puts his foot in his mouth.
Well,
or does
that
something
won't be long. Yeah, that's a good point.
And the Arizona Wildcats have punched their ticket to the College Baseball World Series. They crushed Mississippi 16-3 in the third and deciding game of the Super Regional in Tucson to join the field of 8 teams heading to Omaha. NC State, Texas, Tennessee, Stanford, Vanderbilt have also clinched berths with 2 more teams to be determined today. Mississippi State taking on Notre Dame and Dallas Baptist against Virginia to fill out the field. So saw somebody tweet this over the weekend. Outside of football and men's basketball, it's been a great year for Arizona Wildcats athletics. And it really has. There's no debating that.
Right.
They've had a lot of success. There you go. There's your splash for Monday, June 14th. Coming up next, we'll dive into it. The sweep that happened last night in Denver. Suns are moving on to the Western Conference Finals. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in 4.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns, Nuggets,
now.
Next free throw is not good. Rebound comes down to Torrey Craig. Craig gets the ball off to Chris Paul. 2 seconds, 1 second. Suns win. And the Suns defeat Denver in four straight games. And the Suns will move on to the Western Conference Finals. Oh, brother. The Suns 125, Denver 118, the final score.
The Phoenix Suns don't always make the playoffs, but when they do,
yeah,
they get
funny.
To the Western Conference
that's
Finals.
Funny.
Al McCoy on the final call. Yesterday, as the Suns take care of their business, they wrap it up. Only their third four-game sweep in playoff franchise history. It's only the second time the Nuggets have ever been swept in their playoff history, but this one got a little tenuous at times.
Yeah.
A seven-point win.
Uh-huh.
But overall, Bic, you want to talk about a business-like, very, very steady four-game performance by the Phoenix Suns. They didn't mess around.
Nope.
They didn't really ever open the door for the Denver Nuggets to walk through. And I know that was a concern about this Suns team going into the postseason, but they just look like they're on a different level in terms of focus.
Yeah, I did not expect that. I thought they were better than Denver. I did not expect this to go the way it did, but Chris Paul put on a series that really kind of illustrated just how great he is as a basketball player.
That was a masterful performance.
Yeah.
It was tremendous by he and the Suns. It was baffling on the other side that there was very little resistance to Chris Paul put up by the Denver Nuggets when, I mean, you'd think after the first five or six mid-range jumpers, mm-hmm. they'd try something different. They never tried anything different. And I don't want to put a damper on this for the Suns because it was a domination. But part of that domination was Monty Williams coached circles around Michael Malone. From calling his team soft in game one, to accusing them of quitting in game two, to waiting until game four to revamp his starting backcourt, which was getting dominated in the series and still got dominated yesterday after the switch, to sticking with a struggling Michael Porter Jr. who couldn't play defense to save his life and wasn't scoring at the clip that he needed to score at. There was a lot, and just the basic in-game adjustments, there was a lot left to be desired by the coaching performance by Michael Malone.
I look at the Nuggets and how they could never get a handle on this series based on minutes and rotation. It was kind of the same thing with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. They were scrambling. The Lakers certainly were grasping at straws. There was less grasping at straws by Malone, but The first three games, the domination that Paul and Booker enjoyed over Campazzo and Austin Rivers, you thought maybe after game two, maybe shifting back to Denver. And I know there was the question on Will Barton's availability and his minutes. He might have been their best player of the series.
Yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah, I think he was too. And I think this is like everything is shaping up perfectly for this basketball team. I think that's one of the takeaways from this series and at the end of the Lakers series.
Yeah,
which is great.
The way that they're handling what's in front of them, certainly the way things are shaping out potentially in front of them. What you're looking at a next series against a team that could be coming off of a 7-game series after you had a 4-game sweep. I mean, the rest advantage will certainly be in the Suns' favor. But Monty Williams, again, great job in coaching this team, certainly so far in the postseason. And he talked about it last night on his Zoom call afterwards. You know, he was asked the question, when did you realize that this team was special?
I felt that earlier in the year when our guys didn't complain about all the obstacles that were in front of us, from the changes in our day, the COVID testing, the crazy schedule. I don't think I heard our guys complain one time about it. We've always approached the game with a get to, not a got to mentality. We get to play basketball. We get paid a lot of money, and our team enjoys playing. So you could kind of see it early on. If we could persevere through those obstacles and a few things can go our way in the playoffs, you never know. And again, DA, the competitive will of our players, you know, Book, Chris and Jay, I mean, those guys, they don't want to lose anything. I mean, the arguments that we all have on the bench are legendary, but it's all in an effort to win games. And so, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself or get happy on the farm. but you could see a perseverance about our team this season when I didn't see guys complaining about the things that they could have complained about.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote this in a little piece. We had a roundtable piece on ArizonaSports.com, and the way that the Suns have really, really buckled down defensively in the playoffs, and couple that with the fact that they have no panic offensively. When a team makes a run and they need a bucket, they know exactly what they need to do to get that bucket. You know, we didn't see that as consistently in the regular season, where there was a propensity to shoot more threes. But the Suns just, it was death by a thousand paper cuts for the Nuggets with those mid-range jumpers.
Yeah.
They've taken it to a different level.
No, and the fact that the Suns basically led every minute of that series. Just
well, over the last
domination,
the last three games, Bick, the Nuggets had the lead for a total of a minute 31.
That's insane.
That's almost unheard of.
No, that's a great stat.
Yeah. One thing that, you know, you can look at the offensive improvement. You can look at the defensive improvement. Mm-hmm. Those are all quantifiable. One thing with this Suns team that you cannot quantify, but if you could, it would be a major advantage for them, is their chemistry. For a team that's in their first year together, what we are witnessing on that front is incredibly rare. It starts with Monty Williams, and it continues down to Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and the rest of the team. There was a great moment of an embrace between Chris Paul and Monty Williams right after the buzzer sounded. Here was Chris Paul on that moment.
Man, it's emotional. You know, Mont has been through things in his life. You know, a lot of people don't necessarily come back from, you know, the mental stamina, who he is as a person, you know, basketball aside, he means so much to me and my family, you know, so to be on this journey with him and to see it paying off is nice. And we're a lot alike. We stay locked in. Like, I don't feel good until the buzzer sounds. And Mont's the same way. So, you know, when the series is over and the game is over, it's nice to share those moments.
Yeah, and here was Monty Williams commenting on CP3's masterful performance.
What could you say other than, you know, he was darn near perfect all night long, scoring the ball, managing the clock. He and I had communication throughout the game on what was working. They made some adjustments in their pick and roll defense, and so we had to change up where we ran our stuff. We got more in the middle of the floor, and he's just an unbelievable basketball player. But more than that, he has a will to win, and it's impressive to watch and fun to be a part of.
Monty Williams also shared his thoughts and feelings on the embrace with Chris Paul at the end of the game.
With Chris and I, it was, you know, for me to coach him my first year. And then he went on to a different team for us to be together again and be in that moment and know that we can accomplish more. It was pretty cool. At the same time, I wanted to take a second to just, you know, feel that for a second with him and Book. You know, Chris has meant so much to my career. He's meant so much to my life. I've shared it with a few people, but at the darkest moment of my life, Chris was right there. And, you know, one of the highlights of my career, he's right there. And so I'm just grateful to God for him and all of our guys. And that's where it is right now. I'm not really good at waxing eloquent about how I feel, other than just telling you I just feel grateful for this opportunity and to be on this team in this moment and have a chance to move forward.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing
great.
Stuff.
To have those two, their respective careers, circle back the way they have and lead back to one another at this point, that is really touching stuff to me. That's really poignant stuff.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's great.
And I'm happy, obviously happy for everybody involved with the Suns organization from the top all the way down to the fans and everybody who's ever rooted for the Suns. But it's impossible not to feel that happy for Monty Williams and for different reason, Chris Paul, a guy who's now going to the Western Conference Finals for only the second time in his career, doing it in his first year with the Suns. Man, this has come together better than anybody could have expected.
You can say that again.
Yeah. Coming up next, we will continue to talk about Suns and their domination over the Nuggets. But we got to ask the Nikola Jokic question on just what went down in the third quarter last night. We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
And Mikal Bridges gets the rebound. And now here's another foul.
That's totally frustrating. Yes, now Jokic is trying to get Devin Booker out of the game.
Yeah.
Jokic took a swipe at Cameron Payne because of his frustration with the way DeAndre Ayton's played extremely well. And again, he just chested up against Jokic. Jokic misses the shot and takes a frustration swipe at Cameron Payne,
who's still on the floor.
And then he went at Devin Booker.
Well, the officials have got their work cut out for them right now, that's for sure. And
Jokic is out of the game.
Well, he should be. But
yeah, he wound up, took a swipe.
Yeah, that's exactly what transpired. Tim Kempton, Al McCoy on the call on the Suns Radio Network after a lengthy review.
Yeah,
let me get
it right.
I think they got it right, too. I don't think they wanted to go down that road, but
no.
That video, when you see the frustrated response to Jokic not getting the call, and I know what his explanation was, and in case you didn't hear the explanation from Nikola Jokic, here it was.
It's bad, guys, so I wanted to change the rhythm of the game. I wanted to give us some energy. Maybe to change the whistle a little bit, so I tried to make a hard foul. Did I hit him? Did I didn't hit him? We don't know. So I say sorry if I did, because I didn't want to injure him or hit him in the head on purpose. So I watched the game in the locker room to cool off a little bit.
Yeah, I like that. Did I hit him? Did I not hit him? We don't know. No, we do know.
You
hit him.
Yeah, hit him in the nose.
It wasn't the intent. I don't think that was the intent. But again, when you're that visibly frustrated and you take a wind up like that, you are putting yourself in a position where the worst thing possible can happen. And that's exactly what Nikola Jokic did.
Yeah, listen.
It was an irresponsible play. I get the explanation. Trying to change the rhythm of the game, commit a hard foul. But it worked out horribly, and I think the officials had no choice but to make that call.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this was a terrible look. I know a lot of people kind of cut him some slack because he went over and said sorry to campaign afterwards.
Well, and that's not his reputation either.
It's not, but that was such a non-basketball play. That was frustration so getting the best of him that he just lashed out. And you can't do that if you're anybody, much less an MVP.
True. Somebody had tweeted out last night the question, when was the last time an MVP was ejected in an elimination game in the playoffs? I don't know if anybody ever answered it. I don't know if it's
certainly
ever happened
not
before.
In the third quarter.
No, certainly not in the third quarter. When the game was still in the balance, by the way. Here was Michael Malone, Nuggets coach, sharing his thoughts on the Jokic ejection.
I don't know. I think it was something along the lines of wind up, malicious intent, some other mumbo jumbo, but obviously, you lose the MVP. It's going to make it even harder to try to stave off elimination. The guys that were still in the game, the last three, the third and the fourth quarter, tremendous effort, tremendous fight, which was great to see. And we hung around, overall, very disappointing to end the series, getting swept at home. But as I told our players, Mike, this loss should sting. No one likes to lose. But when you find some time to reflect on the season, remember all the great things that we did this year. And I don't think people fully understand us even winning that first round series, how remarkable that was without a starting backcourt in place. So I'm not going to allow this series to define the season. And obviously, hopefully next year we can find a way to stay healthy and be better and see where we can go.
Look,
he certainly changed his tune, didn't he?
Yeah.
From a team that was quitting and a team that was soft to completely absolving. Obviously, he's got to protect his player. At that point in time, the season's over. So, you know, ripping into Nikola Jokic right now doesn't do him any good.
It doesn't, especially with the way he conducted himself throughout the entirety of the series and being very critical of his team. And I get one thing that Michael Malone says there that's absolutely true. The Nuggets had no business being in the second round of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think that was more, yes, they played hard. They got some good performances from some unlikely sources in round one. Portland is such a poor defensive team that I think that's the biggest reason why Denver was the opponent for the Suns in the second round. Devin Booker, he talked about his role in that whole thing because it was Booker that kind of stepped up to Jokic right in the aftermath of it.
Yeah, that's all I said. You know, just what are you doing? I mean, I think, you know, it was just an emotional play. You know, I don't think he meant harm by it after, but, you know, just a frustration foul, but you know, it was tough just defending my teammate. You know, that was it. But I seen him go up to Cam after and apologize. And, you know, I've played against the Joker multiple times. I know, you know, he's not a malicious player.
And with Jokic and that explanation that he gave, Bic, he kind of accomplished what he was going for. Now, obviously, it's not ideal when you change the rhythm of the game, but you also sacrifice yourself to the rest of your teammates and you're off the floor as the team's best player and MVP. But the rhythm of the game did change at that point.
And you know what? That can be a dangerous thing for teams. When you lose a guy like that and you're playing a team that has absolutely no hope whatsoever, that can be a very difficult thing to do. And the game got dicey for a couple of minutes, a couple of sequences, and that's where I think Chris Paul, the experience, just took over. But, you know what? It just, like I said, I think this was a statement just how much the Phoenix Suns are growing and how other teams are realizing we can't deal with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing off in a lot of frustration moments.
Oh, and more clear there than anywhere else. But again, there's a lot of people saying, oh, that was bunk. He shouldn't have been ejected. He's the MVP. You can't eject the MVP in that circumstance. But a lot of those same people are the ones that complain about superstars getting calls all the time. Well, if that was somebody else not named Jokic, he definitely should have been ejected. Well, if the act is the same, why do you consider who the perpetrator is? That's one of my biggest frustrations. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a lot this year, Bic.
Uh-huh.
A foul is a foul. A flagrant foul is a flagrant foul, and a flagrant two is a flagrant two. It doesn't matter who's carrying out the action.
Yeah, it's true.
And I'm not saying if Jokic stays in that game, Denver wins. I don't think that's the case. It was utter domination when he was on the court, when he was off the court.
He's generally a mild-mannered guy.
He is.
And so for that frustration to hit him as hard as it did really kind of told me something.
But go back to Friday night, too, when he wasn't getting calls. And you saw he freaked out on Friday night, too.
He did.
And to the point where he was shaking. He was so upset when he approached that referee. And I thought they gave him a little bit of leeway there.
Very much so. Yeah. I personally, I came out of the series not that big of a fan of him. The complaining, the game is good, the game is solid, but the complaining and then getting ejected from game four like that, that's just reprehensible.
Yeah, I mean, there were people and people that said this publicly, and Nick Wright was, I think, leading the charge on this from Fox Sports, who said, if Jokic wins the MVP, it's going to be the worst MVP we've had in this league in 35 years, and he got roasted for it, and in a way, rightfully so, but that statement looks a little bit less damning now than it did when he made it, because he did not perform like an MVP.
No, and he's going to have to wear that now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Michael Malone was doing. He was just kind of rallying this because he knows how bad this looks on Jokic going forward.
Yeah, the MVP of this series, undoubtedly, CP3. We'll get into his historic performance from last night next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. The Suns sweep the Nuggets in four.
And the Suns are going to move on to the Western Conference Finals.
Bickley and Murata talk Suns Nuggets now.
Monty Morris over in the far corner now. Fakes, drives underneath, can't shoot it. Gets it out on top to Will Barton. Barton has the ball knocked away by Chris Paul. Picked up by Bridges. Give it back to Chris Paul. He scores at 33 points for Chris Paul. And Chris Paul still with the ball. Gets behind a DeAndre Ayton screen. Puts up a 15-footer. Good. 35 points tonight for Chris Paul.
Chris Paul finished with 37 points. Al McCoy on the call on the Suns Radio Network. It was the second most points ever scored by Chris Paul in a playoff game. He's played 119 of them. He had 41 for the Rockets in a 2018 round two game, game five over Utah. He went 14 of 19 from the floor. That's 73.7% shooting. Second highest shooting percentage in a playoff game. And again, a stretch from 2:34 of the left of the second quarter to 3:55 left in the third quarter, Bick. Nine straight mid-range jumpers, and they were all huge. In none of those nine possessions was the Suns' lead more than 7 points in any of them.
They were all clutch.
It
Every
was
one of them.
And we've seen Chris Paul take over to the extent. I mean, what he had done in the fourth quarter before, he actually missed a couple shots in the fourth quarter, which was somewhat shocking. But what he had done in this series in taking over games in big spots or just saying this game's over, everybody's getting off the court now, and we're going to sit and watch the reserves for the rest of the game, it was amazing. But he took it to a different level last night. That was remarkable.
The psychological effects of having him be able to put that injury in the rearview mirror and play the way he's been playing, particularly in clutch moments, you can't put a price tag on this stuff. You know what I mean? Because when he makes shots like that, when he is leading by example, when he's doing those tricks while dribbling and his teammates are going nuts, it lifts the entire team.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened again last night.
He does a lot of stuff that you would see like on the N1 tour. But he's doing it highest level of basketball against the best competition you can fathom. And that fake pass move that he does.
I love that.
When he gets into the lane, he talked about that last night and how he developed it.
I started that back in like 2007 when they tried to switch the balls on us, when they tried to switch the basketballs on us, and it was like a different material. If I could like throw that basketball way out and make it snap and come back to me. And so then when we switched back to the regular basketballs, it just, with me, I'm obviously not 6'5", 6'6", not the most athletic or whatnot, so I've always had to, develop my ball handling and things like this to keep guys off balance.
Yeah, not only the ball handling, getting others involved, but obviously he is, if you had to pick one guy as the mid-range master in the NBA right now, it's Chris Paul. He was asked post-game, how important the mid-range game is in today's NBA.
How important is the mid-range game still in the game of basketball?
It's important to me. You know, some years ago, when I played with the Clippers, the whole league went to this drop defense. You know what I mean? And I was like, if that's what y'all going to give up, I'm going to try to perfect it. You know, but it's not about that. I'm so grateful to my family, my team. A couple years ago, they was writing me off, you can't do this, and this ain't about me, it's about us. Show you what you can do when you come together as a team. You got a great team over there, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of it.
That is the chanting for Chris Paul from the Suns crowd. We're going to get into the Suns crowd, by the way,
what
later on in the show.
By the Suns nation, if you will.
That's on the road.
Uh-huh.
The Suns took over an arena yesterday. Chris Paul said, when he found out about the drop defenses, He tried to perfect it. Well, he's perfected it.
Yeah.
And I asked the question, I was doing crosstalk today with Doug and Wolf about, the mid-range. It was a dirty word for a long time, for the past few years in the NBA. Oh, nobody shoots a two-point shot anymore. It's either at the rim or a three-point shot. What are you doing? That mid-range game is dead. Seeing what the Suns have done, not only with Chris Paul, but with Devin Booker, to an extent with what Mikal Bridges does in this offense, I'm wondering if this sparks a revival of the mid-range around the NBA.
Yeah, it might. I don't know. These things can kind of be cyclical at times. I think more to the point, though, Chris Paul, the way he closed out that series, the plays he made, the steal, the layup, all of that stuff, I think he's kind of the sentimental favorite in the NBA now, not just in Phoenix. I think league-wide, people are looking at Chris Paul going, yeah, that man deserves it this year.
Well, I think there, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Chris Paul is universally loved around the NBA. Yeah. He's played on so many teams, yeah, and he's infuriated a lot of fan bases to the point where if you've got a rooting interest, you might be against Chris Paul at this point. But there's a ton of basketball fans who just follow the sport. They don't follow players. They don't follow teams. They're just into the sport. And for those people, including Suns fans, and who knows, maybe Clippers fans, well, some Clippers fans, Rockets fans, they're looking at Chris Paul saying, you know, it would be really cool for a guy who's always been labeled as falling short in the postseason for whatever reason, he can get a ring with the Phoenix Suns. So I think there is a lot of widespread support for him. And, you know, looking at the rest of the field, you got a couple of perceived super teams that are left in the Clippers and the Nets. I think people are going to root against them. Mm-hmm. You know, Philadelphia is very formidable. The Bucks are very formidable. But, yeah, the Chris Paul support question is an interesting one.
Yeah, and what a moment for him. And I think for the Suns to go through what they went through against the Lakers, to wonder if they would ever get him back, and then to somehow hang on and win that series, and then get Chris Paul back to being the guy that he's been, I think it's having a super kind of effect on this basketball team. I think it's taken them to another level altogether. I think they're feeling pretty unbeatable right about now.
I think that's the case.
Yeah, and you know, I've said this before over the weekend, and I think when you look at the way the Suns handled the Nuggets, you could make an argument that maybe this was too easy for them, that a basketball team can lose its edge playing in a non-competitive playoff series. I watching them at the end yesterday, they are so laser focused that, and the rest that comes with that, I don't think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Monty Williams was asked about Chris Paul and at this point being 36, and we even heard some of it locally when the Suns made that, oh, he's 36, he's making $40 million a year, what are they doing? A lot of doubt. Monty Williams talked about that, how that doubt kind of fuels CP3.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy that the people did do that because it fueled an already highly competitive, strong-willed maestro of a point guard and basketball player. You never want to count out a guy like Chris, you know, and what he's been able to do for our program is, I'd be here all day talking to you about the things that he's brought to the staff, to the players. I've told our local writers about, they've learned about diet, hydration, different methods of working out. But more than that, I think our guys can see his will every single day. He's competitive. He cares. And, you know, I'm glad to be a partner with him. You know, for me personally, I've had the most success as a coach when I've had Chris, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. He's an unreal basketball player, a great dude, and I'm just glad he's our point guard.
Yeah, if Chris Paul doesn't step up in Game 4 against the Lakers, who knows what kind of conversations we're having right now. That was his moment in that series.
Yeah, it's true.
He's obviously feeling a lot better, and I know he's only played 10 playoff games in a Phoenix Suns uniform, but what he did yesterday, that's already in the top echelon of playoff performances in this franchise history.
Yeah.
That was just at a different level. And he didn't do it with three-point shots, and he didn't do it with a ton of flash, although there was a couple of moves to get open where he did do it. But just hitting shots at different angles over seven-foot defenders, he was on a different level yesterday.
When he did that little finger wag point at Devin Booker after that layup, that was such a great moment.
The only thing that could have been better was if, on that breakaway, we played the highlight coming in.
Yeah.
On the breakaway where he got the layup, if he would have got up and dunked it. That's the only thing that could have been better yesterday.
Yeah, the people in my vicinity were like, well, he can't dunk. I'm like, he can.
Oh, he can dunk rather easily, by the way.
He can dunk. Yeah. But I think in that situation, he was just making sure, you know?
Yeah, it still counts as two. But man, what an absolute show he put on yesterday!
Yeah, he did.
And
he's Devin, the MVP, man.
Devin,
I'm sorry,
Devin Booker, not too shabby either. We'll get into Book's performance too. But as we do the day after Suns games, we will open up the phone lines next. 602-260-9870. It's a reality, Suns fans. Your team is going to the Western Conference Finals, and they're halfway to a championship, their first in franchise history, if they can complete this whole deal. 602-260-9870. Your phone calls next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Suns playoff.